Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Before we get into today's episode, we want to talk about something very important that needs to be addressed immediately. Dads have way too thick of wallets.
Why? Bro. Why is your wallet so thick? There's no need for like receipts and old theater tickets.
A picture of me playing soccer in seventh grade. I didn't even score that season, Dad. Why do you have it in there?
No reason, dude. There's no reason.
It's old school, Dad. You need to get you a Ridge wallet. It's Boom. That front pocket walletto. All right. You know, you ever put a wallet in your front pocket?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I just did that with a Ridge wallet and I feel like I got money now.
Dude.
It's up front. You're flexing with it, you know?
Also, you don't feel like you get pickpocketed, dude. No one's going front pickpocket. Uh-uh. At that point,
I was like, that might just be sexual. Like,
yeah.
Get in there.
That's what I'm saying. And, dude, I think my girl honestly could use this because she's always like my wallet is just too big. I can't fit it anywhere. But this one, boom, right in her tight jeans, right in the front, dude.
And even better, you get a cell phone case and you put some wallets in there. You can put wallets in your wallets. You could be the exhibit of Pimp My Ride with the wallet, okay?
Woo, woo.
So don't be a dad and go get you a modern 2019. This is the Tesla of wallets.
Made of adamantium.
So go to ridgewallet.com/socks for 10% off your order.
Do it.
Link in the bio.
Shoo weep. Yo.
Stiff socks, baby. Stiff what's up?
Socks.
Very stiff, big things stiff, today.
Dude,
big
we things. Did, we did, I feel good. I feel like... You know what I mean? My back feels good. We did a lot of...
My hip hurts.
Your hip hurts.
Yeah. But that's a me thing. I went out boozing this weekend hard, so...
Okay. How did your hip hurt from boozing? Did you fall down?
Dude, I did a keg stand on top of a pink flamingo. It was a wild weekend.
What? Alcohol is also poison. You forget. It's poison.
My body's like, don't do this to mm-hmm. me. But yeah, we also have a special guest today.
Hey,
it's Mister. Me.
Aristotle Georgeson.
Hello.
Bum, 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 bum. You might know him from literally everything. You're all over the place, dude.
Doing stuff, yeah. A lot of people don't even know that that's my real name. A lot of people literally just know me as Blake Weber.
Dude, but I like the OG name you got on Instagram, Bottle of Stottle.
Bottle of Stottle, yeah.
And let me ask you this real quick.
That. Mm-hmm.
So when I first followed you on that Instagram, your bio said you had the most disliked video on BuzzFeed.
That's correct.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So here's the thing, because did BuzzFeed shut down? Or they're on the way out.
Yeah, I think they closed down a lot of their production because, I mean, it was getting a lot of views, but it wasn't monetized very well. Right. And it's just on the slow.
They were running
decline.
Out of things to do.
They were running out of lists.
The try guys, try to be try guys. You're like, how does that even make sense?
What is that?
Try guys, try water. So what was the video that had all the dislikes?
that's funny.
Because I wanted to like search for it, but it's like, how do you most dislike video on BuzzFeed history?
Yeah, right? I don't think that search result shows up. It was they profiled. So I'm sure, are you familiar with Binium Bazuna?
Yeah. Very funny dude.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Phenomenal. Film me in, bro. Who's been, it's just two dudes that are
LA comic, Binium.
He's a really good stand-up comedian.
LA dude.
Oh.
And so at one point he got hired by BuzzFeed to produce a few different segments.
Word.
And the first thing he wanted to do was produce a segment covering, at the time, Blake Weber went by Blake Vapes.
Oh yeah, so... classic. That's a classic character.
Buddy, I love it.
Yeah, it was really good, and it was like really timely. It was like right when vaping was, in 2014, vape was like the word of the year or whatever.
It was huge, dude.
And so they profiled Blake Vapes, and the audience didn't realize that it was a character, and so they were like, why the fuck would you profile this fucking guy? He's an asshole.
Dude, those are my favorite
characters.
He's
such a fucking douchebag. Why would you profile, you know? And so like it had like 50,000 dislikes, and like like 600 likes.
600 people vaping, like, dude, fuck yeah.
Love this guy.
Dude, I can smell the guava through the fucking phone.
It was so funny. And so even like he produced it, and like even some of the staff people at BuzzFeed was like, is that his real voice?
Oh my God.
Is that really him?
I love that though.
Yeah, it was great. And so he like essentially trolled BuzzFeed while he was working there.
Two birds, one stone.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
He's a true G. So that was hilarious. And we had a lot of fun with it.
That's like my favorite type of characters, where people like question, because I have people comment on my shit. They're like, the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
They're like, daddy must have been boozing when he was born. I was like, that's a little deep.
Come on, man.
I mean, he was, but like, goddamn.
Yeah,
you know?
You don't have to say that. Yeah, it was
daiquiris, dude. But it's so funny.
That
like the internet, like, they don't do any research. The internet's like, if you like talk with an accent, like, why the fuck does he talk like that?
Where's he from? Yeah. I get that a lot. Like, where are you from, dude? Where's that douchebag at? Is he speaking douchinese?
If you had to put a location on it, what do you think it'd be?
So the backstory for Blake is that he's from Redondo Beach.
I love
Redondo, dude, down there catching waves in the southern SoCal.
I love putting specifics on something. Like, the thing me and Charlie's do is it's Lake Elsinore.
Yeah.
That's such a odd bro city.
It is the 909.
It locks it down. Yeah, it's so funny to me. I love that you have a location for it. It just makes it that much funnier.
Do you feel like it helps though? Because I know with acting, you got to like paint a whole fucking backstory. Do you think it like helps you like really drop into it, or you think it's just a funny specific?
I think it adds a layer, right?
Yeah, it definitely adds a layer.
Yeah.
I will say for like the live shows, it gives you more to work with when you have it.
Right.
But in terms of that, the specificity in of itself, I think is part of the joke.
That's the improv background right there. Hey, who, what, where? Who, what, where, baby?
Who, what, where? Yes, and you know. What
yeah,
I mean?
Dude. Yeah, I think that adds so much. Cause, yeah. I mean, I even just did a dumb bro video. That's even how me and Charlie's like met up. It was like, okay. I did a dumb bro video that was in Sacramento.
Nice.
It's called like the Sac Bromento Kings. It's just like nice. So many people, and it did well in NorCal because people were like, oh, fucking just the tag ability.
I know that guy.
So the tag ability is just adding an extra layer of relatability helps all that stuff.
Exactly.
Well,
okay. So yeah.
But
so
dude, that's hilarious. So that video, did it blow up on its own just because it was such a funny concept, or did it kind of just like,
yeah,
eventually
it took off, dude. Like, and it was funny because it actually at the time it was before Instagram started the algorithm or whatever.
Oh right.
So it a lot of people saw it on the BuzzFeed Instagram page and then came to my page and then followed like a hate follow.
That's like,
it was just those hate follows that people were like, I gotta see what the fuck this piece of shit is doing,
which is
you
so
know?
Weird because it's like you want the followers, but you're also like, just, why are you going to be so mean to me, dude?
Well, and for me, that's like, that was my purpose when I started Blake, was to troll people. I wanted people to come to this account and be like, is this guy for real? And it's exactly what happened. And I got put on all the right platforms to bring this sort of like brigade of haters.
Yeah.
And it really sparked, you know, a conversation about who this guy was. And it just,
that's true.
I just kept playing into it.
How does that feel though, bro? How does that feel to when you first start this character and you think, or you know, maybe the majority of the people that are following you fucking hate you. So you open your IG and you go, okay, X amount of people, cool. Everyone hates me. Is that like funny because you know that was your, that
was my intent.
That was your intent.
So it's hilarious.
I feel like they go to your page wanting to hate, and then they kind of get the gist of it.
Yes.
And then they stay there as a follower and a fan.
And that's what I've seen happen over the years is that, you know, because I started this character. I started the character in like 2015.
Blake Vapes. Yeah, he's been around for a minute.
Yeah, and then I just kept doing it because it kept growing new layers, and I kept having to like change up.
Yeah, you adapted really well.
Yeah, how the tactics were, because once Vape sort of like peaked in terms of like people talking about and people even caring and like even taking the time to make a meme. It's like, oh, it's the difference between a douchebag and a vapor? Nothing. You know, like all the memes and shit. Yeah.
That's good, dude.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, dude. I made that. It's going viral.
Vape comedy,
viral,
dude.
You know?
No,
dude,
that
I saw the growth and decline of vape through a vape store that was on the corner
of
where I live.
Hilarious.
Dude, it's like a 4-story fucking sick, like modern vape store.
Okay.
And then they spent millions of dollars on this fucking vape store.
I believe
it's on Sunset. It's like the location's crazy.
Is this the vapor spot?
Vapor Spot. I don't, dude.
That's the big. There's that one is on Sunset and it's got like big glass windows and it's huge. It's got a big LED sign.
Oh, I've seen yeah, that that's
so
it.
So was it? It was the Vapor Spot. I know the Vapor Spot.
That's
I've been
it,
there
dude.
Before.
So it's like, yeah, yeah. Little raise up a few cartridges there. Do you have a custom flavor? Yeah.
I did at one point.
That's fucking. That's you beat the game at that point.
I know.
That like what else could you want? Like if I had a weed name after me, I would quit everything.
Yeah,
like, that's all you want. So what was the flavor you had after you?
It was called Strawberry Killing It.
they didn't even try.
That's so funny. That's hilarious.
And it was a strawberry kiwi sour flavor. And what's so funny about the whole thing from the beginning is that like I don't actually vape.
Oh, word!
I never actually vaped, and so it was literally the character was just kind of playing off the culture. But what
That's
happened
so funny.
Was the vapors sort of like they accepted it into the culture because
I think at first would they be like, he's not even inhaling. Da, 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 da.
Yeah. And I got those and there was a lot of vape people that would talk shit. But I soon learned that those people that were like talking shit to Blake were the actual Blake vapes of the world. They were the character that I was parodying.
Right, right. So dude, that's the whole shit I have with all the Zoomies people. And they're like, dude, so
they
you work
you,
there? Do you
right?
stay? And I'm like, not really, dude. I kind of just like mocked it in my own my own point of view.
Yep.
And but they hated it at first, and then they caught on, and now it's like a thing.
And then I bet because of that, they like respected that one, you did it in a way that wasn't disrespectful.
Right.
And two, it's funny.
Exactly.
So when you can combine those two things, you're going to get that love.
And it's weird because they come in wanting to hate and then they leave. They're like, oh, it's a genuine dude.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a fucking nice dude. I like
that's
that
hilarious,
guy. Very
man.
Friendly face.
That's hilarious.
We got a bunch of questions that you lovely people asked on the Stiff Socks IG. Some of these are hilarious and we're just going to go through them because these are really. All right. So here we go. We'll go at you first, Aristotle.
Okay.
What's the wildest thing you've ever witnessed while performing?
Ooh.
While performing. Sexually, maybe, is what this person's saying. No, I think, but you know, performing. You take that word and you make it mean whatever you want it to mean.
While performing. Okay, so I came up doing comedy in Florida.
Oh, this is going to be good. I was just in Miami, bro. This is going to top everybody's story.
In Florida is 10 times worse than what anyone's ever experienced.
Oh, my God. It's so true. And so, oh, my God. So this was this biker bar.
I'm excited, I already love it.
It's down in Delray Beach. I forgot what it was called, dude, but it was trash. It was some Irish place.
Oh, God.
And,
probably called like Moe's or something like that.
Yeah, it was
something grimy.
It had green and like that shitty wood from like the 70s everywhere.
I already hate it.
And I was on stage and I was like, I like to riff a lot and there's these guys playing pool. And so I just started, no one was paying attention. So I just started like commentating their game. And one of the guys like noticed and like he stood up. He's like, keep talking. and he's like holding his pool stick. And I was like, okay, I hope you don't scratch on the eight ball. You know, like just all whatever, right. just antagonizing right. a little bit. Yeah. And it got to the point where he started yelling at me and then he came at me while I was on stage with the pool stick.
Fuck.
And this other like giant he's not a comedian anymore, but he was this like big, huge, fat dude that
Did
was all tatted up. What's up?
Did he die that night from the pool stick? He took the fucking pool stick for you?
No, dude. But he was like somehow
fat dude, man.
Yeah. And he was like scarier than everyone else in the bar, this one comedian. And he like so stepped in front of the guy and was like, don't even think about it.
That's
great. And then the guy just kind of like backed off. He's like, well, he needs to shut the fuck up. And then this other comedian was like, he can say whatever the fuck he wants. And then it ended up just being like the guys just chilled out. And then, but that was crazy. For a second, I literally was like, oh my God, this guy is going to beat me to death.
You're like, I have a stool and a microphone. I can't fight too much.
No, and he was a scary, like this was like one of those like 70s bikers, like Vietnam vets wearing like the leather vest and jacked
just
as fuck.
The most American thing. Woo. Yeah.
I mean, buddy, how scary was this comedian? You just said the comedian was the scariest person in a Florida Irish pub bar.
I know. And
who was this?
So he was actually like a former like he'd been arrested for like he literally served like a 12-year prison sentence. And while in prison, bear in mind this guy's a comedian. He like murdered two people. Like
what?
No joke. Like straight up was like in a gang. Like had like the scary like. you know, the white power tattoos on him.
No.
Bear in mind, he isn't like white power, but he's like in prison. You have to join a gang, especially in the one that he was in. He's like, or else you're going to get fucking, you're going to get killed.
So he was like a Dodgers fan wearing a Giants hat in SF. He's like, I'm just doing it because I have to be here.
Exactly.
Type deal. Yeah.
And wow. So he was just this giant, scary dude who was really such a fucking sweetheart. Like, dude, at the end of it, like, he was awesome. He taught one of the life lessons I actually learned from this guy was, he's like, always make sure you have gum on you for, and he explained it that it's like, one, it is a good conversation starter, and two, it makes you seem more valuable than you are because you're like offering it to people. And so I always have gum in my backpack.
I take gum from a white power guy though.
he's giving you this advice with a swastika on his face.
Yeah.
Gum.
Like, are we talking about gum or anthrax here, man?
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, that's not something that he like really ever put out there. He's not like, hey, I'm a white power guy.
Oh, that'd be the first thing I did if I was at a bar fight. I'd be like, first of all, do you want some Trident Lair? Second of all,
yeah.
But dude, good for him for like getting out of jail.
Yes.
Not the killing part, but then being like, how can I spread joy and laughter?
And he did, and he was a really nice dude, and like, he was like very ashamed of his past and like what he did.
Wow.
And his brother was currently serving in prison, and he was, you know, he was trying to help.
It's like a
him
family tradition
it.
That just
literally.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. But that's why he was the scariest guy in that bar.
Dude, what a great guy to have on your team, though.
I didn't foresee anybody stepping up. I literally just was like, oh, this guy's gonna beat me to death.
Did you have a backup plan? Or were you just like,
no,
we're going to wait this out?
I was just going to like run. Like, that's what am I going to do?
Same boat, bro. I would have been out of
run,
it.
You know?
So did you perform after? Like, or did
I
a comic
going,
after?
I kept going. I like went into like, it's so funny because you know how sometimes if you're doing crowd work and then you go into bits, like it's just
transition.
Like, they're just okay. Well, it was already going very bad. And then I like did my fucking dumb closer at that time. And it just, I felt gross and bad.
Can I ask you, do you remember your dumb closer?
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. And, oh man. This is like, I was like a year into comedy and like, it was like a whole sex bit, like a role play sex bit about how like I was C-3PO and I was fucking my girlfriend who's Chewbacca. Like, that's the gist of it.
Of course, I got it. I already got it.
But you finished out the bar show with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought like maybe I was like, oh, my fucking lit Chewbacca noise will get him back.
It just starts to fight up again. Like, the fuck you say to me?
What did you say about Wookiees?
Dude, that's so funny.
It's awful.
Dude, can you imagine that being your first stand-up show?
The fact that you were a year in, that happened, and then you're still like, I'm going to keep going with this.
Know,
that's
dude.
Like how you know you're a legit comedian. Cause
or
like,
you're incredibly delusional.
Oh, right. Somebody's like, dude, all the signs were pointing not to keep doing stand-up. And you're like, yeah, it was just one bar fight, though.
Yeah, dude, I was having fun up until that moment.
Yeah, bro. What about you? You have a cool performance story?
I mean, dude, I started in New York, so there's just a bunch of fucking just heinous.
So you've been held gunpoint on your closer.
Not gun, but like there's been, I mean, there's been people that screamed out, I have a gun, like that type of shit. I've had candles being thrown at
me. Can't lit or burnt out?
You don't even know, dude. Is there thrown at you? I think they're lit and they become burnt out and then they smash.
You get the wax in your
wax
eye.
Yeah. Dude. Did I ever tell this story where I had to try to follow a drag show? Did I ever tell this story in this fucking podcast?
Can't follow that show, dude. It's probably way too lit.
You think dick jokes are better than a lady with a dick? Bro. Hell no, bro.
Not even close.
Nah.
So there's a drag show and there's a stand-up show, right? So they're killing the drag show.
How do those two always get paired together?
Don't
know. Somehow.
They just work together. Yeah. Similar audiences.
Dude, good
crossover
demographics. Right. Like, okay, we got you on a 7, then on a 9, all right? You're opening both of them. You're like, ah.
It definitely doesn't work.
So they're killing it. It's super entertaining.
They do
crush. Way more entertaining than stand-up.
Oh, yeah,
and
bro.
it's on Fire Island. I don't know if you guys know anything about New York, but Fire Island, there's
like
a side
STD.
Of the island that's like pretty gay, right?
Yeah.
So the show's on that island. They don't want to see stand-up, dude.
No.
They're done.
No,
drag
that's what I'm saying.
Like,
it's so weird to put two and two together.
So I'm like, I'm pretty new in the game. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do to bridge this gap, right? So which is already a horrible idea.
Oh, God.
So
try to bridge the gap.
No, there's no gap to bridge.
Anytime you try to impress a certain crowd of people, flops all the time.
Every time, dude.
They read the, like, they're like, this is not organic. We hate you.
So what did you...
So I got up there, dude, and I looked...
There's a little Britney Spears style.
Buddy, dude,
one of these guys?
I know what he did.
One of these, the Britney Spears right here?
Yeah, dude. That's what I did. I also like tied my dick in a balloon animal. It was entertaining. Sure. Yeah. That's well. Anyway, so I get up there and there's a DJ. So I go, hey, play that song again that you just playing. I want to see if I can do it.
Oh god,
buddy. They play the song. I'm thinking it's gonna crush. I try to like walk, and immediately they hate me because they think I'm making fun of it. I'm trying to like ingratiate myself, and they immediately think I'm making fun of
it. Right? Like, oh, this guy is white boy.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude. So then I try to go into bits. Nothing, dude.
Oh, dude. I'm telling you,
for 1 minute of fucking, not even giggles, like nothing, dude. Then someone screams out, "Take your fucking shirt off!" Right, and that set me off. Because like stand-up is about like the art and the performance, and someone wants to see you without your shirt off. I freaked the fuck out, dude. I literally started doing crowd work like this. Hey man, where are you from? Oh yeah, fuck you. Hey, I swear to God. Hey, where are you from? Connecticut. Yeah, cool. Fuck you.
Like, you should have taken your shirt off, bro.
Yeah, right.
I feel like that was like a lifeline.
What are you thinking?
that was like them being like, this could save you. Take your shirt off.
Yeah, take your shirt off. Let me rate your body,
buddy. It was fucking horrible, right? So I literally 15, 20 minutes of that, like just yelling at people. People are booing. It was fucking horrible, right?
Damn.
And I was doing a show with my buddy. My buddy went after me. He actually did well because he, you know, whatever. So, but the funniest part about this fucking story is we were like an hour, 2 hours later, we're on this dock in Fire Island. He's like talking me off the ledge. So I'm like, fucking come, man. I'm never gonna fucking like just freaking out. Oh, right? Yeah. And he's like, dude, it's all good, blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting on this pier and we just start hearing. We fucking buddy.
Fish swimming?
Yeah. How did you know that's a story? We caught some fish. No, so we turn around and this dude is getting his dick sucked by this other dude. Like he's going in, dude.
That's dope.
Were they at the show?
I don't even know, dude. I don't. It would be,
that'd be a cool full circle moment.
Yeah, it's a guy that yelled at you just sucking someone else's dick.
So now I'm heckling you, bro.
Yeah. He's like, go deeper. Go deeper.
You should have taken your shirt off. You're like, why are you doing this to
me? He's like, this could be you.
I'm like, that looks so much better than what I'm doing.
That's hilarious.
My buddy looks at me. He goes, dude, how are we the gayest people on this dock right now? Is what he fucking said to me. It was such a moment where it gets you out of your stupid misery.
Yeah.
You're like, this is what life's about. Just get your dick suck on a pier, bro.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, dude. That's
gotta keep doing comedy, trying to get my dick stuck on a pier, bitch.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the ultimate goal, dude.
Mm-hmm. One
time I had a guy, he was wearing, have you seen those sweatbands that have a built-in wig into it?
Yes.
So I was in Valencia, California, and there was a bar in the back of the show, which is always a perfect setup, you know?
No, it's great.
And this guy has his back facing the show, and I said something about doing a job, and it's the most like traditional heckle ever. It's like, I'd keep that job if I were you. And then I was just kind of like, I saw him, he was sitting by himself, and I was like, he was sitting by himself with a fucking mullet sweatband on, hammered. And then I said something about like, I was just like, well, you're the guy sitting alone, blah, blah, blah. You know, fucking tore his ass up, right?
Yeah, you got him, dude. You got him, dude.
Heckler destroyed. Anyways, I didn't think anything of it. I just made a quick comment. Then afterwards, the show, he came up next to me, nut taps me.
Just like
a backhand, like a pimp slap to the dick, like a, and I was so in shock, I didn't know what to do, and I was like, how do I, because you're not trained ever in school to be like, well, when a weird drunk guy hits you in the penis, I don't know what to do, and I walk outside to follow this guy, and I have my phone out there, and he's like, what, are you going to call the cops, and he called my bluff, and I was like, I don't know who I was going to call. I don't know. I don't have a big buff friend from Florida to call right now. Right? Like, and so I have, like, he was crushing it, right? He's like fucking 3 for 3.
And
then I walk outside. This is where he loses. And I see that he has a Vespa chained up. His Vespa. He has a Vespa chained up to a light pole. And then he rode that home. And I was like, I won.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a Vespa and I won. Like, it was so weird because, like you said, that life moment where I suddenly, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, everything's fine. This guy's miserable on a Vespa.
Or he's
really fucking happy.
Dude,
you just got it wrong.
It was just so weird because like I tried to explain what happened to like everybody else and they're like, this is not real. I was like, no, dude, this happened. And the Vespa was chained up. The funniest part is like, it was in a pretty shitty town and he had his Vespa still chained up. Like somebody was just going to jack it from him, I guess.
But if you have a Vespa, like a nut tap is like a traditional hello.
Oh,
like, I feel like that's how you say hello.
That's how you unlock your iPhone. Just a quick nut tap. It was the weirdest thing ever.
That is strange. What if he has like, What if he just has a Vespa and then at home he's just got like a Ferrari?
Dude,
he's just like a Vespa and a Ferrari.
This is my Sunday mode of transportation.
It was the saddest thing. I saw him ride off into the night because it's one of those streets where there's not a lot of streetlights. Yeah. And I just saw him disappear into the night. And I was like, this is not real.
Did he have a helmet on?
No.
Wow.
He was fucking.
What a fucking legend, dude. Bro, this guy's
he has DGAF somewhere tattooed on his body. That was such a funny era to be in, the DGAF era.
Oh, right?
DGAF. It just sounds terrible. It just sounds like sugar-free Red Bulls.
We'll go one more. Yeah, yeah. How do I slide into a girl's DM?
Ooh.
Seriously asking.
Okay.
As opposed to, just kidding. Yeah. You know, how the fuck?
How do I slide in with some... into her, fuck her DMs, dude.
I mean, I think this might be phrased wrong because how do I slide? I mean, it's a very, you press fucking message and you put something.
Yeah, if you want
to. I think it means like, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah,
exactly. Probably.
Like, how do I properly slide into
there's a send
DMs?
Button, you know.
So yeah, there's like, you type in
or take a picture and send it. Just make sure it's not of your dick.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. And we talked about this on the last podcast, I think. I think the goofier you go, and the more spontaneous the comment is where you're gonna get the most response. If you just like message like, yo, your ass looks like a peach, bit like they hear that shit every fucking day. So if you just type, you know, something weird like what's your favorite robot, you might get like a response if you type something crazy.
I think so.
Your opinion, everyone?
I think the new wave right now is you comment on their story.
Yes.
Right? So you comment on the story and they go, who is this? And then how you comment is that's the key right there. Because if you just hit them with a hello, beautiful, and then you're a rose, you're just another dude from fucking Dubai shooting a shot. So.
Right. Yep.
I think that it's the comment.
Commenting on a story. I'm actually married. So
ladies out there, I'm
very,
sorry.
Very My qualified bad. To answer this question.
Okay.
Did you slide in to get the lady?
No, I met her in real life, dude. I've never been on fucking Tinder. It's crazy. I know.
How do you meet someone in like real life?
Because I'm a real person.
Oh, shit.
So what I would say, and this is based on, you know, several different women that my wife is friends with, what they've said.
Okay.
So you're partially you said, comment, you know, message comment based on a story. And then notice a detail. Say something like, oh my God, look at that guy in the back. Did you notice that guy in the back? You know, play to the details of the story because then you could be observant of something that she didn't even notice. And then now she's like, wow, this guy's so observant.
I have done that before,
they play into that. And you're more likely to be, you know, a friend or like an ally than some creepy dude that's just trying to fuck.
Yeah, because you get the acceptance. Right. Yeah, I commented on a girl's one. I was like, yo, did you see that dude you're kissing that story? Ha ha ha. It could be me. And she just never got back to me.
See, that's too obvious.
Too obvious.
Not enough subtle of a detail.
I should have noted the cat in the background.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that if you comment on the story, of an aspect of the story that's not her, it's a power move because you're essentially not commenting on her. You're like, I'm not even worried about you, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm commenting on this. So then the kind of primal response from her is, how come he didn't say anything about me?
That's a nice beach towel.
In theory,
yes, sir.
Okay, in theory, that could actually work to your advantage. And the reason why is because you're already following her, so you already care enough about her to push that follow button.
Boom.
Probably. Right. We're just assuming that you're following the girl that you're DMing.
Yeah.
Unless you're a real rebel.
So, and then I'm assuming you're not going to message her on her first story. Probably not, you know? Mm-hmm. So you've probably at least viewed three or four.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that all of a sudden, like, oh, he's been watching and he's paying attention to me.
Right.
And it's funny that he would even go this deep into my story and then even deeper into the layer of this picture, video,
and then even deeper, bro.
Yeah, and then she's like, maybe he wants to go even deeper in some way.
Oh, shit, dude. You know what I mean? So. Point being.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
dude, that's the first thing you're going into?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm married, okay?
Oh, bro.
Absolutely.
You gotta change it up.
Dude, I had anal within the first 17 minutes of
day
meeting
of the
my
wedding?
Wife.
Oh, yeah, just like.
Yeah, no, first date. I was like, anal.
What up?
17 minutes in. She's like, okay, yeah,
we just wait for the appetizers to get here? You're like, nah.
Fuck this Rainforest calamari,
cafe,
dude.
Baby.
Yeah, dude, I'm not waiting for these lettuce wraps.
That's hilarious. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Don't dive in on chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the end, you know?
Yes.
Where they start talking about the author and that stuff, you know?
That's where you can really do the most damage.
Hell yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love that.
I know. I knew you would. I knew you would.
All right, we want to go one more.
I actually wanted to address this. This could be. Have you guys seen the ad for the new Pokemon movie with Pikachu?
Oh, front center.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any of this.
Let me show you a picture.
Pikachu.
So this new. Those are all.
Oh, yours
really
is
good.
Better than mine. I'm
using it as a soundbite.
Dude, I was obsessed with Pokemon. Let's give him
yours.
All right. Pikachu.
Okay, I'm gonna do this, but based on yours, because maybe I don't know what Pikachu sounds like.
Okay.
Pikachu.
That's pretty.
I think that's more of what it was.
That's more.
Mine was like Stitch.
it was like Stitch in an improv class trying to do. So here's the thing. So that's the you. Look at how realistic. Look at how realistic that is.
Yeah, dude. These artists are so good nowadays, dude.
It's
unbelievable.
It's weird how good it is though, mm-hmm. and that's what kind of freaks me out.
That's why I can't wait to see it.
It's gonna be interesting.
I don't know anything about it. Can someone fill me in, please?
It's just Ryan Reynolds, and it's like Ted.
Is Ryan Reynolds Pikachu?
Yes.
Easy.
Yeah. So the way that it's working is Pikachu.
What?
The whole world can only hear Pika Pika. You know, that's all the whole world.
Word.
Can hear.
Okay.
But the main character Ash can hear Ryan Reynolds saying shit like, "Oh man, what the hell is up with that bitch?" You know.
Oh, like, I'm sorry. So Ryan Reynolds is not Ash.
No.
That would be kind of sick if Ryan Reynolds was like a grown up Ash.
Yeah, that could. I mean, maybe that'll happen.
If this does well, that'll happen.
I can't wait, man. Because the first preview that came out for it, I was like, I'm a huge Pokemon fan from back. Like, dude, I had all the cards when I was in like fourth grade.
Holographics, bro. That's how you.
Dude, I literally still have my cards, and one of which is a first edition Charizard.
Dude, that's better than being verified. If you got holograms, that was being verified back in the day. Like, you're on the playground, be like, yo,
dude,
holographic Bulbasaur right there.
I was crushing it at recess. Let's just put it that way.
Dude, you could probably. We're probably at the point where you could sell those now.
Yeah, well, I think I missed the window.
Really?
Yeah. Remember when the app was really popular?
Oh, Pokemon Go. Yeah.
My wife was like, "Yo, sell your cards," and I was like, I think there's still value to come.
Oh, hold on,
just
a little.
And then like 3 months later, it was done, and I should have sold my cards.
Yeah, but let me say this: this Pikachu movie is about to come out, so the value of these shit's about to come out.
Yeah,
thank you, Ryan Reynolds.
Maybe the value will increase. I literally have the
movie
first...
just bombs. And you're like, fuck.
Like no, and I have to burn them. I'm ashamed of my cards. No, but I have the first two full decks.
Oh, word.
So I have like all the cards that you are supposed to have to make the first two decks, which cost my parents probably a lot of money.
I remember I would get like for like birthday, like back then, I would just ask for the cards. I didn't give a shit about the game.
Dude.
I didn't give a shit about the game. Same. I just wanted all holographics. Yep. That's all I gave a fuck about.
Yeah, dude. I never had any Pokemon cards because I had friends. You know?
One of those guys, huh?
Bring me back to fifth grade recess.
Wow, dude.
Dude, I had like friends and I liked women and stuff like that.
I didn't like women.
You guys were playing Pokemon. Like Pokey, whatever the fuck it's
called. I didn't
play
it.
And I was like making out
cards,
with women,
dude.
Like a human being.
I was selling cards on eBay for like $12.
Yeah, bro. Were you making that type of money back then?
Dude.
Young Gary Vee over here.
Young Gary Vee, dude. I swear a lot because I'm edgy.
Edgy. Fuck. Oh, shit. Y'all hear that? Boom.
Boom.
Fuck the monetization.
Yeah, dude, I used to be Gary Vee's.
You know what's funny about cursing, though? I feel like marketing now, everything, even Coke is like, drink fucking Coke, bitch. Like, it's all asterisks out. Like, all of it, dude.
Right?
Well, dude, the value of swear words, you know, it's no longer, like, taboo. It's very... Even nowadays, sometimes I'll be, like, in line at a grocery store, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, I forgot the blah, blah, blah. And then I'll, like, turn around and be like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. Oh, fuck, about your kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, kid, don't worry, here's
words. Kid's like, why the fuck are you censoring yourself?
Yeah. Chill the fuck out, dude. I'm fine.
Let me ask you guys this. Did you guys have a swear jar growing up?
No, I didn't curse with my parents.
Really?
No.
See, I had one. And I think my dad, whenever he was like low on laundry money, he'd like kick my shin. I'd be like, fuck. He's like, that's a $1.25. Just milk it out of me. Yeah, I had one. And that bitch was filled up.
Okay. My mom would just hit me if I cursed. That was a swear jar in my house. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like put a dollar. She would smack me in the face.
Well, yeah, my mom would hit me too, but she was 5 foot. She's fragile. So she, I remember one time, she hit me with the paddle, like the soup ladle, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Oh,
and it broke, and I started laughing. I was like, because that's not supposed to happen, right?
Yeah,
it broke. And then she's like, well, huh? And she's like, well, I guess I could just get money from you because that'll hurt you more mentally. And I was like,
I remember the first time my mom realized that she wasn't hurting me. It was the best flip moment of my life.
For you or her?
For me, for her, she was mortified.
Yeah,
but
she was
like,
fuck, I can no longer control him.
Exactly, yeah. Dude. Oh, she was like smacking me like on the arm, and it usually hurt like a lot.
Yeah. Right.
But I was just like, this is fucked. And I started laughing, and she was like, like all the control just drained out of her face. Oh, dude, it was so bad.
Yeah, it's like when the peasants start turning on the king.
Oh, right.
And you can just see him like, what are you doing? Like,
this is not how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
I just had my best acting face on because it's like either that or I waited until my dad got home to really beat my ass. So I was like, oh, I'll take a slap on the wrist and be like, oh, no, that hurt. Instead of daddy getting the belt out and doing the
sick, dude. You had a dad? That's sick, dude.
Yeah, I think so. He was a chill dude. He used to just come by on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. But the way I play sports, you wouldn't think I had a dad.
I would think your dad was like a brown bear, like just very unathletic, man.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty athletic, dude.
Yeah, dude.
For golfing, I got my stuff together.
Yeah, dude. I thought he was pretty freaking good. He did all the trick shots, kind of.
Yeah.
For the most part,
it was like I did them all asterisk. You know?
Yeah.
You know. I wouldn't hire him, but I wouldn't also not invite him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fire you, but you'd be like the last.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel that. And I was always that like kind of guy. Like when we were playing basketball, it was like a pickup game. Like I would be on the dope team, but pick last. But I'm still on the dope team.
Yeah. It's like you're the most expensive house in like a shitty neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was like the Luke Walton of everything. Mm-hmm. You know?
Sorry. You're the least expensive house in a really nice neighborhood.
Right. I was the pool house of a fucking $1 million.
Here's the thing, though. The only reason that you got picked up on the basketball team because there was only 10 people at the courts. If there were 11, you wouldn't be
buying
a house.
You'd be on the bench. You'd be riding pine.
Right. But I was number 10. So in that group picture, if we took a picture, you'd be like, oh, he's on the dope squad. Mm-hmm. Not knowing that I only got picked last because my mom was coming with fruit snacks at halftime. So they brought in the inside.
That's
dope, dude.
I love good fruit snacks.
Buddy, speaking of pictures, in sixth grade, we took basketball pictures and I wanted it to be different. And in my little kid head, you know the jerseys, like they have like the little straps, obviously, right? I put a strap like lower on. Like I didn't know that's like a woman's section.
We're trying to fuck the cameraman. You're like, oh, no.
That's funny.
They like, say cheese. You're like,
that's
say
a good
tonight,
joke, dude.
Dude, that's why I was like, yeah, I'm different. And the guy was like, what? Why am I hard? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what was I?
Yeah,
doing?
Like what girls do with their overalls. Yeah.
Exactly, dude.
Word.
And I thought that was like sick.
So how did that work out for you?
I mean, nothing really happened.
Yeah.
I mean, no one really
and
made
now
fun of it.
Now you sound like you're just like a funny, wacky kid.
Yeah.
He's a wacky kid.
Now you got a documentary. It'll be like, it was always a class clown growing up. Then it cuts to that picture.
It just cuts you out.
It's 100%. Like,
got the Ken Burns zoom
on
it.
Oh, yeah. With the little the sleeve coming down, dude. Mm-hmm. Was Nip showing?
Were you, I think a little bit of areola was showing.
A little bit.
Okay. Totally. Yeah.
Just enough to tease the opponent.
A little much with the areola, but.
No.
Before that, it was funny.
Before
we knew about the Nip, it was funny.
The blurred out on your ESPN.
Did you play sports?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played hockey my whole life.
I could see that.
Yeah, me too, bro.
Right? Very pale. You know,
you got big arms though.
Yeah. You know, I maintained, you know, some of the mass in college. I really started working out.
Nice.
But I played hockey and then I suffered like an injury in my left eye. My retina is almost detached.
Oh shit.
That sounds
horrible.
Wild.
It's just okay. So the retina is basically where the image gets projected off of your brain when you see things.
Uh-huh.
And so when it gets detached, basically you lose sight. There are surgeries that could reattach it. They don't guarantee that your sight will fully restore.
That shit freaks me out.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee.
Yeah,
but.
No, exactly. And so that's essentially what led me to quit hockey. I got nailed during a game one time.
Oh.
And then I like lost vision in my left eye for like 10 minutes. And I told the eye doctor that. They did a bunch of fucking scans and whatnot. And they were like, oh, yeah, your retina is almost detached. You can continue playing hockey at this risk. There's, you know, corrective surgery.
Yeah.
Or you just quit and then you don't really have to worry about it. And so then I shifted to golf. Which I had been playing along with hockey the whole time, but just like as like a more of a summer activity, random thing, and so I just dedicated all my time to that, and then I played in high school, almost made the Florida State team. I used to be like almost a scratch golfer. It was crazy, and so
damn.
Now it's funny to play with me because the thing that killed me back in the day was I was just angry. I would like,
oh, dude,
I would make
if you
a
let it go,
and I would just fucking throw.
Oh,
the
were
club.
You a club thrower? I was a club thrower.
Dude,
I've broken
mad.
Four drivers on trees. Just
I
by,
believe it.
I was a club thrower always.
So, and you can't have that sort of emotional swing when you're trying to stay calm and really, and play the game. So that was my downfall ultimately in terms of competitive golf. And so now when I play, I just, like, don't give a fuck. I get mad still because I'm like, God damn it. If I fucking was good again, I'd make that shot, or I'd, that'd be 5 feet away. But I just have like done enough drugs to the point now where I am just more chill about it.
Very meta.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best drug to pair with golfing?
With golf?
Yeah.
It's
a very stressful sport. Very.
I mean, you know, alcohol is obviously
I play better when I drink beer.
Because you're just it numbs your senses.
Yeah.
I recently tried golfing on acid a couple weeks ago.
And oh my god!
It was
and the golf club turned into a fucking snake.
so how was that?
Yeah, that's what the government wants you to think.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you just blew my retina
off.
That's
what the government wants you to think. Oh, what shit. Actually happened is it was like kind of similar to Adderall, where it's just you're just hyper focused. Like I said, I took a small dose,
so smart.
You're just hyper focused, and I just like it was one of those things where if I saw the shot in my head. What I was able to do was almost execute it.
No.
So it was, I swear to God, microdosing on acid is like really phenomenal for just being able to do things, you know? And when I say like do what you believe, like if you're doing something like, for instance, we were at the Renaissance Fair yesterday, did a little acid, Saturday, and I was fucking, I threw out of 10 axes into the little axe area. Fucking, I made 9 into the target. 9 out of 10 axes. And I've thrown axes 4 times in my life. Like, I don't have any reason to fucking, but I was just like, okay, if I just have my plane, like, I just, like, visually saw what I was going to do, and I was just, like, able to do it. Dude. I don't know how to explain it, but it just tricks your brain into thinking you're better than you are, and then you know, you act that way. It's crazy.
Holy
that's crazy.
Shit.
That's like, a that's, whole new insight.
Yeah, man. Dude. I recommend it to everyone. Fucking try microdosing on acid. They're doing it in Silicon Valley. So
I have heard a lot of talk probably. About that, and I got to do my taxes coming up here, so I might try microdosing to see if I can just sit down and focus on it. You know?
Yeah, because I have severe ADHD, in the day, I used to take Adderall, and I would just feel like shit because it's essentially a release. I mean, it's
speed, isn't it?
Not great for you.
They say it's one molecule. Meth is one molecule away from Adderall.
Oh, they're neighbors.
They're right
there.
They're
in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. And every time I'd come down off of it, I'd feel like shit. I was tired. I'd get a splitting headache. And I was like, this is definitely not good for you. And then, you know, a couple years ago, I found microdosing on acid was very helpful in accomplishing tasks and in staying focused.
But how often do you microdose? It sounds like this is like a weekly thing.
No, I mean, I would say it's like once or twice a month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I've been doing it since about 2016.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? You know, I don't really care. Because I like to live in the moment.
Yeah, and you also threw 9 out of 10 axes. Yeah, that is whatever a doctor says, like, did you hit 9 out of 10, though?
No, you did not. And did you also about your degree. Fucking throw a spear for your first time into the fucking hay bale? I don't think so.
And that's where all the money is, man.
Throwing spears into hay bales.
That's where you make the majority. Like great. On your W-2, you wrote, I threw some shit into a hay bale.
Yep.
Give me all the money.
Give me the money. And also, let me fucking endorse your LSD.
Dude, that's great.
Is going to be LSD companies soon.
It's the next CBD.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Well, mushrooms, I think, actually, MDMA is going to come first. Because they're already finding so much clinical success with depression for former vets and PTSD.
Yeah. Oh, so like Molly or
very,
or all that.
Very, very small doses of Molly, and they're saying it's really helping. So anything synthesized is always going to go through the government first, because when you're dealing with a synthesized drug, any lab in the world can recreate it because there's a formula for it.
Gotcha.
And so when you're like, for instance, like with marijuana and any sort of plants. That's part of the reason why it's harder to make that legal, because they can't synthesize it. So whatever weed they're growing, you know, over on this side of the world is going to be different than what they're growing here in California. And so it can't be like exact. It can't be an exact science. So I think it's going to be MDMA. I think LSD. And then I think there's probably, I know California's already got it on the ballot to let mushrooms be legal. So, you know, in terms of clinical use, I think MDMA, acid, mushrooms, but in terms of recreational use, I think mushrooms will be here pretty soon.
Damn. Mm-hmm. So weed's going to be like, that's going to be old news pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Weed's already, you know, a billionaire's game now because of all the investments that are coming in from all these suits. Fuck the
goddamn
suits.
Yo,
fuck the fucking suits. Big business. Go fuck yourself.
Let me just smoke a little weed, dude, without 48,000% tax on it.
Yeah,
dude.
You don't even smoke weed. So
don't even
STFU, bro.
Dude,
you know?
Get out of here, come gov.
On. Just because you smoked once in college doesn't mean you can own a fucking CBD company,
fucking
asshole.
Fucking narcs, dude. Speaking of CBD. Speaking of CBD, we have Holiday CBD. I don't know how to open a box. Look at this presentation, dude. This is better than any gift I've ever gotten as a child and as an adult.
Buddy, I think a stripper's about to come out here. This is nice, dude. Look at
That'd be pretty cool. Dude, I don't even need stripper because I'm chilling. I'm relaxed. Holiday CBD. It's 100% THC free and non-psychoactive. So you're not going to get high taking this.
No, you're not.
Why? Because it's in the middle of the day. I got stuff to do. Popped a Molly. I'm sweating. It's not Molly. Ooh, it's delicious.
Sweating, is it? Oh, it's a gummy.
That's delicious. You want one?
Yeah, dude.
Yo, get in there. I think that's guava. Stiff Socks 10 for 10% off your first order. The link is down below. So work hard, vacation even harder, baby. I'm tripping out, dude. Psych. I wish I was, dude. Back to the episode.
Okay.
Cannabidol?
Yeah, that's dope, dude.
Yeah,
a little bit of acid here and there.
Yeah, why not?
Dude, drugs affect me in such a crazy way. I'm nervous to do anything.
I think
bro.
You got to start slow, though.
Yeah, well, tell me this. What was your like first experience with? Have you done mushrooms?
No, I haven't done anything, dude.
Oh, okay.
I smoke. Well, I'm just saying, like, if I just have a low tolerance for everything. So if I mm-hmm. have like two drinks, and I'm fucking drunk.
Okay.
If I have like, if I take one hit of weed, your boy is gone into the clouds. Okay. I'm done. Bro.
I was gonna say because a lot of people have that first experience with either weed or mushrooms or you know whatever it is, some kind of hallucinogen, and they have a terrible experience, and it's because well, one, what was your environment? And two, how much did you do?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've had horrific experience because I did way too much. And I've had terrible experience because I was in a terrible environment.
Right.
And then I've had some of the most magical days I've ever had in my entire life when I do a little bit and I'm in a controlled, excellent environment.
The first time someone does acid, they're like at a cockfight. They're like, dude, I fucking hate this, bro.
Bro, acid sucks.
Sucks, bro.
Don't you think about the environment?
There's a bunch of chickens, dude. They're all angry at me, bro.
It's crazy.
There's a guy with a swastika and a pool stick and somebody from Florida.
I mean,
it makes sense, dude. It's,
yeah.
You know, all about the environment. You know,
literally.
You start rolling balls at a Chuck E. Cheese. It could be great. It could be terrible. You know,
that's
it
probably going to be amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on the manager. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. That mouse is scary as fuck.
Yeah, dude.
Let me say this real quick.
Go ahead.
Someone told me that Chuck E. Cheese had the best pizza in the world.
Mm.
I don't know if that's a nostalgia thing or if it.
Yeah.
I haven't had it in so long.
The slices were so small.
Nostalgia porn is a thing. So
nostalgia. That's what I said about like the whole like the Dino chicken nuggets. When was the last time you had those?
I was 8 years old and literally I was ate them while I had the flu. So after I never ate them again because I was throwing up and attributed it to that.
See, I had them again as an adult and it was just disappointing.
Really?
You know?
I can imagine.
And I was so sad because I wanted to leave it alone. I wanted to have the nostalgia, but like I ate them and I was like, I just pushed them into the trash can all slow and I was like, it's over.
Here goes my childhood.
Exactly. It's like, we're done here, you know?
Yes.
But there's certain things you'll never lose nostalgia on. Pop-Tarts, you know?
Pokemon,
dude.
Toaster strudels, dude.
What's up, bro? Toaster strudels. I'll fucking.
Yeah, dude. Toaster strudels.
Hot pockets. You've had hot pockets lately?
I had hot pockets in college. My wife won't let me buy them anymore.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yo. Honestly, divorce her. that's what you tell the lawyer.
That'd be the lowest.
You want me to fucking hot pockets?
I couldn't get hot pockets anymore.
He's just buying 12 packages of hot pockets. Like, oh, you having a fun night? Nope, divorce.
It's funny. I divorce her. I fucking start eating only hot pockets.
Dude, that's such a divorce.
I died in 3 years, and I was like, damn, she's right this whole time.
It's the most divorced food ever. It's a hot pocket.
Yep.
So funny though. It's just like on the go. You're like, you just gotta fucking head out.
Dude, yeah. They're not bad though. They're really not bad. Are you guys telling me that you don't like them?
No, I love them.
Oh, okay, good.
That's what I ate in college, like every day.
Dude, they
like
work.
Dude, you know what I did in college? My dad gave me like a food allowance, like $150 a week, whatever the fuck.
Big
the
numbers.
Food allowance.
That's pretty good.
Whatever the money. I think it was less than that. It doesn't matter what the number was. But the idea was we were like, all right, we'll take all this money, and we'll buy beer. And we'll try to figure out what the lowest amount of money you can spend on food, right? Literally, bro, we went to Costco and we filled up all the cabinets.
Okay.
Do you mean all the cabinets? Yes, I mean all the cabinets. With ramen.
Okay.
All of them. Chock full of ramen. And we lasted, I shit you not, we lasted 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Just eating ramen. And then eventually I'm gonna throw up.
Dude, the amount of sodium. I'm surprised you didn't drink to a salt rock or something like that.
We're so dumb, dude. Both of our hands were like you could see like the swelling in our hands.
Oh,
but
wow.
We were like, it must be hot, dude. South Carolina. We had no idea that it was just salt we were eating.
Oh, wow. Dude.
Yeah, literally. Did you find that like your skin was drier too? Did you find anything like that? Or
I don't remember. I don't remember that. Yeah, it
that's
was, dude. So all we were doing literally was getting fucking smashed drunk.
Which is dehydrating.
That's what
you.
I'm saying. Oh, yeah. Drinking no water and just eating ramen
with salt.
With salt,
man. You probably were actually like like really like tight though.
Dude, shredded.
Like shredded.
Shredded. Just sodium.
Yeah. And we went to the gym too. God, we were crazy people.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, the fucking the college makes zero sense because you would like go work out for like 30 minutes and hit this central college workout. You know, you went to school in Florida, so you probably had these bros. Yeah. The chest and the biceps. That's it.
Chest and biceps, baby.
And you'd be like, Mondays. Well, I earned this fucking quesarito dipped in fucking fried mustard. And then you just chug 19 beers. Oh, you'd be like, oh, yeah, can I get fucking lettuce on the side so you can bulk out?
Here's the crazy
nasty.
Thing. Nasty. Here's the crazy thing. You'd wake up and feel phenomenal.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. You wake up. Dude, if I had one Fanta and a half of Dino Nugget and went to sleep, I'd wake up feeling like I had an entire bottle of Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up like, shit. Dude, I have to chug two glasses
acid
of water before I go to sleep, or I wake up like, oh, my head hurts.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
It's weird how that happens. You'd think that your body would get used to it. You think that, but it does the exact opposite. It's opposite. Fucking bullshit, dude. Like,
yeah, I
fuck
think
whoever designed us, man.
I think your body gets a certain amount of get out of jail free passes when it comes to like shitty diet and
that's
hangovers.
Fair. That's fair. If
you drink 200 times and you feel phenomenal throughout college, and then one day your body's like, "You're all out, bud.
Yeah.
Welcome to adulthood."
Yeah,
and even the noise of an fucking Advil bottle just kills your brain. Why are Advil bottles so fucking loud? For getting rid of headaches, they're the loudest things ever.
I would guess that because that's just how it's designed.
Dude, you think they fucking soundproof the walls in that thing or something?
put a little foam in there,
you know.
But also, so you can find it at night, maybe. You know,
true.
You're going through your shit and you just knock it down.
That is true.
Yeah, you know, you know the acoustics of an Advil bottle.
Oh,
yeah,
very
100%. compared to like a Tums bottle.
Oh, dude, Tums
big
is heavy,
difference.
Sturdy.
Yes,
but that Advil bottle, it's like a rattlesnake. Like,
yes.
I'm here for you.
Exactly.
Advil doesn't work for me, dude.
No?
I need to go Excedrin.
It's very bad for you.
Oh, it's terrible for
those
your
things are very bad for you.
Advil?
Oh, yeah.
Advil, Excedrin, anything that gets processed through your liver like that, that's I think they're anti-inflammatories.
Yeah.
I
so. Buddy, are you Joe Rogan or a doctor? What's
Dude,
happening?
Joe
you know
Rogan.
Everything
you know, I'm just,
about...
I read stuff.
Elk meat.
Elk meat, baby.
Buddy, that sounds like the dumbest person. Yo, I read stuff, dude.
I read stuff, bro. That's what
dude,
I
it's
do.
Out there, dude.
I just sit there and read stuff. So,
yo, you know what's so funny? If you say, I read an article about, and then
it
fill in the blank, you
so
go, oh, shit, okay, I guess he read it somewhere. Like, you can literally say anything, and you're like, all right.
I know,
I
and it could be, like, from some, like, fucking college kid's blog.
Dude, you could write it yourself, and think, I read an article. It says by Trevor Wallace. Yeah, but I read it and wrote it, so.
It's just in your notes section of your phone.
I read an article.
Yeah, dude, this great article by this phenomenal writer.
Yeah, let me pull it up. It's on notes.com over here.
I think that's part of the problem with the world right now is just the excess of information. I think a lot of the issues in the world could be solved if we just didn't have so much information.
Oh, 100%.
Dude,
100%.
You know how like dictionaries, you have to go through a crazy process to get a word in the dictionary?
Oh, yeah.
There should be a certain funnel of the internet where you have to go through crazy process to get information, like core information.
To get information?
I'm sorry, not to get, well, just to have the information in that funnel on the internet.
Got it.
So you know when you go there, it's like not opinionated, it's just fucking fact.
That's what they're that's what they've been trying to do with Wikipedia this whole time.
Yeah.
But Wikipedia
can't
you weird. Can you self-edit that shit?
Truth be told, I've seen it been done and I've seen like funny memes where people have done it and whatnot.
Yeah.
But they fix it pretty quick from what I've
really
read.
They're always
seen,
asking me for fucking money, so obviously they're not doing a great job.
They're just another dude on the side of a freeway for me. They're always like $3, $3.
I gave him $3 one time. I was
Wikipedia?
Like, fuck it. Dude.
Did you get anything out of it?
I mean, I got the satisfaction of knowing that they are the reason I passed college.
True.
And I was like, well, this, you know, here's $3.
Dude,
buddy, one time Wikipedia tried to sell me their mixtape. I was like,
Dude.
You're like, did you listen to it at all? Did you check it out?
No, I didn't.
You just got to keep walking.
Oh, yeah.
Can't listen to
That's
that
That's so
shit.
Funny. I know, like, for sure, professors always know your paper's bullshit if you go to the back. If I was a professor, I would just look at the sources. Mm-hmm. Anytime I saw Wikipedia, I'd be like, F.
Well, that they wouldn't let you use Wikipedia. So what you do is you steal Wikipedia's sources.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what I did. I would go down to the bottom of Wikipedia, go to that source.
Damn.
Maybe look in that source, go another level deeper, possibly even find some stuff that you didn't even know that could fit beautifully within your essay.
Dropping
and
gems.
And so you just go, boom, 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 a couple layers deep. All of a sudden, you found your own source.
Dude, that's dude, smart as fuck.
Or you don't do your paper, you beat up a fucking nerd, you take their shit, and then you just live your life, and then you just have 19 ramens and 1,600 beers, and you just live your life, man.
Yeah, and try to get laid every night, but then fucking...
Fail miserably
because you're blackout drunk and you don't remember what you said and you offended her and now she won't talk to you anymore, so...
But you still have your top ramen at your disposal.
And then you go home, masturbate, and just come salt cubes.
Like those gum cubes with the salt?
Exactly. Yes, dude. Yummy.
Jesus Christ. God damn. Yeah, the college diet couldn't be more trash. Did you guys have like a go-to college spot for food?
Yes, several.
What was your... So, is it Gainesville?
No.
Oh, fuck. My bad, dude.
Wrong city.
Oh, my bad. Tallahassee. That's it, Tallahassee.
Tallahassee.
Florida State University. Oh, yeah.
Tallahassee. That's the first time I heard that. That sounds good,
dude. It is, dude. It's fucking great. I loved it. I love school. My two go-to places.
That sounded like a cop. Like, I love school. School is good. Stay in it.
Do you guys have any marijuanas? You're like, no one says it like that, bro.
Sorry, the pots. What was your go-to college food spot?
So there was this place that opened up my... So first off, Chipotle, just the staple.
OG.
And then this place opened up when I was a junior called Mr. Roboto. Ooh. And they had surprisingly good sushi for a very efficient cost. Wow. And then the other thing that they had that they did really good was this chicken teriyaki. But what you do is you get like all... They had this sauce. It was just called Mr. Roboto sauce.
Nice.
And yeah, it's like this fucking dude's jizz. And it was amazing. It looked like jizz, but it was like some kind of garlic... I think it was like a garlic miso sauce.
Ooh.
And it was so fucking good.
But that's what an Asian man's jizz tastes like.
Probably.
Yeah, garlic miso.
Yeah, that's yeah, so it was
very good for you. A lot of good properties. Dude. Oh,
yeah.
Minerals.
A lot of protein, bro. Yeah,
Sushi spots always have the best chicken teriyaki. They always crush
it. So that spot was, that was the go-to.
Do we have a place like
Mr.
that,
Mr. Roboto sounds racist to me.
It like, does sound a little bit racist. Yeah. It does. It sounds looking like back on it,
what
yeah.
a white guy would be like, what are we going to tell this sushi spot, dude?
Yeah. Mr. Roboto.
And the truth is, I never like saw the owner. It was probably like some dude did it. He's like, he'll come to us if we call him Mr. Roboto. Yeah.
It's like a white dude having a sandwich place called Dante's. And you're like, you're Dante's. Like, no, I'm Carl. I just thought it was a dope name, dude.
It's good branding.
Yeah, we had a place in college that had this. It was called La Victoria's. La Vix was a slang version. Mexican spot. It was only good when you're drunk. You have it sober, you're like, why am I doing this myself?
Okay. Yeah.
So they had the sauce called orange sauce, and it was like a spicy sauce you put on a burrito.
What a lazy ass name, dude.
Orange sauce. Wait, what color is the sauce? I can't think of it. Dude, orange sauce.
It was fucking volcano lava orange, and it was so good, dude.
Spicy.
I don't even know what it was, but it was like it's one of those things where like you would ask a coworker, like, yo, what is in that? They'd look at you like, you don't want to know. And then I Googled it. It was like a bunch of like pork fat. And I was like, I'm just going to stop reading here. But it was so good. But then it was one of those, if you left it out overnight, it was a completely different color the next morning. You're like, I'm going to just not worry about that.
It all coagulates.
Oh, dude, it turned into like a fucking coagulates.
Dude, you're such a doctor, dude.
Bro, dude, elk meat, bro.
I fucking know things.
But yeah, that place was great. And the burritos were very average, but put the sauce on it. When you're drunk, dude, I'd fuck a burrito, dude.
Whoa.
Come on,
you hear it here first. Trevor Wallace fucks burritos.
I've never had sex, so.
Why not?
You are virgin, dude.
Virgin to the day
I'm
going to
talk about this every single episode.
Dude, I got V-card right next to my Visa card, bro. I got both of them, dude.
That's dope, dude.
You got a food spot? And I think we got to wrap things up. You got a food spot?
Nah, man. There wasn't really like a set food spot.
Just top ramen.
Well, yeah, we did top ramen.
You just set up a restaurant in your house called Salty D's, and you just fucking
charge a dollar a fucking bowl.
But you know what's crazy? You still make profit off $1 a bowl.
You still make money.
Dude, you make 97 cents.
Yeah. You go to Costco, bro, you get like a whole rack of them.
It's almost
literally
sad.
Like 20 cents per.
Dude, they come in a package the size of like a 36 pack of toilet paper. Like, it's such a big box of the top ramen, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So you just have that.
Dude, there was
we didn't have money to eat out. We drank. Yeah. We drank at home.
We drank all of the
money. Our chaser was the broth. Ew, dude. That would actually work, but in the most disgusting way
ever.
I
don't know. Vodka and ramen broth. Maybe this weekend.
Maybe we'll do the Oriental one. You know, it might be a little mix.
Yeah, I'll call it Mr. Roboto juice.
Yeah, there you go. If you had to mix vodka with one of the flavors, what would you do? I'd probably go beef. Just because it's the manliest option. Okay. So I'd just be like, fucking beef.
I'm gonna go chicken, dude.
Chicken?
Because I would feel like it would go the best with it.
Yeah. Because chicken has a similar sort of structure.
Yeah.
Molecule structure to vodka.
Yeah, dude, and chickens have breasts. Breasts have, you know, women. Yeah, it's associated.
And milk, to,
yeah,
so it's taste. Liquid.
So it's a pretty, pretty cool.
I think
cool
we discovered
move.
A lot today.
Yeah, we did. I think
Hunter.
We have a checklist of things to do. Microdose.
Yep.
I think that was it. I think that's the only checklist. I think that was all that was on the agenda.
We all need to microdose so we can remember what the fuck we made
a
list about.
I'm interested in that stuff.
I am too.
I want to microdose and like go camping or play ping pong. Or one of the two, you know?
Buddy, stiff socks, microdoses, and does anything.
It looks like we have an acid guy. I'm not going to name drop who the guy would be, but if we need some.
Yeah, we could
probably. I don't want
to
name drop.
No, we don't need to.
But speaking of name dropping, if you have anything coming up, are you doing some tour? Are you doing some dates?
Yeah, I got a bunch of dates coming up.
Give it to him, dude.
Really excited about
find them. Dude, you're going Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, it's fucking
it's Pitbull, dude.
Crazy, bro. I'm gonna be in I believe it's Grand Rapids, Michigan on June 4th, and then Lansing the next day, June 5th, and then June 13th right here in Oxnard, California.
Levity
That's Lab,
a beautiful
baby.
Club. That's like one of my hometown spots.
I'm so excited, dude. I know.
It's gorgeous.
And it's gonna be fucking awesome. So those three dates, and then later in the fall, we got some. We got Alabama,
dude. That's where I'm
Nashville.
Going. That's where we're doing the same run. Huntsville, Nashville,
goddamn
baby.
Right, baby boy.
Hell yeah! So if I make it back alive, which chances are, I don't know if I will.
Probably will.
The project's gonna turn me into a scarecrow and just throw like hucks of corn at me or something.
But it's plausible. It is the South, but they also might feed you real good though.
That's why I booked Nashville.
A lot of hospitality down there.
I was like, kill me with hot chicken. Drown me in hot chicken.
And their fucking barbecue sauce.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so we got those shows coming up. Follow me on Instagram at Bottle Estottle or Blake Weber. So check them fellas out.
Hell yeah, dude.
Chicken. Yo.
That's been another episode.
Boom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. And
go microdose.
You, man.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having you. Why did I say thanks for having us?
Like, we're the guests. I don't know.
Terrible outro. What is going on right now?
I don't know, dude. Peace, man. I love you guys.
Pikachu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.